Hey, good morning, Bereshis Rabbi Karan. So we are on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis at a new Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, "Hamoder hana mechaveru." So someone, so you have person A and person B. Person A has a neder that he won't benefit from person B. Lo yashilenu, he shouldn't lend him anything. Lo yishalmenu, as well as he shouldn't borrow anything from him. Lo yalvenu, he shouldn't lend him money. V'lo yilvimeni, he shouldn't borrow money from him. V'lo yimkarlo, and he shouldn't sell him items. V'lo yikachmimeni, he shouldn't buy items from him. So basically, no transactions back and forth between the two individuals. So the Gemara asks, Bishlama lo yilvenu. It makes sense that he shouldn't lend money to the person, dechka mahanei, because he's getting benefit from him, right? By virtue of lending money to the person, he's getting benefit. But why wouldn't he be able to borrow money from the person? What benefit does he get by borrowing money from him? Right. So the Gemara attempts to give an answer and doesn't like the answer. You might think that the reason that you would say that you're not able to borrow money from him, why he doesn't buy items from him, because there are instances where even though when you're borrowing, money, that there is still some sort of benefit. What the benefit might be is, and we actually learned this Mishnah in some form earlier on, when you borrow money, you might be borrowing coins that are older coins, and you might be returning coins that are more newer coins that might have a higher value, or alternatively, you might be buying merchandise that's harder to sell. So by buying the merchandise that's higher to sell, there's a intangible benefit of the guy's able to clear out his inventory of something. So you might think that's okay. However, Ella, well, you shall hey man, my kai mahasila. When it comes to borrowing, when I borrow something from someone else, I have to return the exact same item. So there wouldn't be any benefit there, right? If I borrow someone's shovel, I'm returning the exact same shovel, as opposed to if I borrow money, if I take an old dollar and I return a new dollar, there might be some benefit there. So the Gemara offers two answers. Amar Rav Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina kagon shenadru hanazeh mizeh. Right, maybe we're talking about where there is mutual. It's not just a one-way neder; it's a two-way neder. So neither of them are allowed to benefit either from the other. So therefore, borrowing and selling makes sense because then there's nothing going on. And Abaye Amar, the second answer is gzera lishal mishum mahashal, that they made this gzera not to borrow because that might cause you to lend. So, and lending, we know, would provide a benefit. V'chein v'chula gzeira. And then, so the gzeira is just a gzeira to prevent the actual problem. Okay, good. Next Mishnah. Amrlo, if someone said to someone, Hashileni parasecha, lend me your cow. Amrlo, ain't a pinuyin, my cow is not available. My cow is busy. And the guy gets upset about it. He says, Kon amar konam, I make a neder. Sade sheni chorish ba, that the field that I plow in will never be plowed with your cow, right? So he basically says, if you don't give me your cow, I don't ever want to have use of your cow. And the way he says it is, I make a neder that my field would never be, I will never plow my field with your cow. So imaya darka lachrosh. So if this guy is the guy that would always plow the field himself, right? So when he talks about plowing his field, he's a self-plower. Who aser v'chol adam mutarim? Then he is not allowed to use the cow. But other people could come along and use the cow. Because again, his language was sha'ani choresh, that I am going to plow, right? So if he does it by himself, usually, that means he's allowed to do it, but other people, he's not allowed to do it, but other people are allowed to take this cow and plow that field. Vim ein darka lachrosh, but if he's not the type that would plow his own field, but he always has workers plow his field for him, hu v'chol adam asurim, then when everyone is forbidden, because when he says, I will not plow my field, he really doesn't mean he himself, he really means my field, that however it gets plowed, will not be plowed by your cow. Hamuder hana mechavero. So, and we sort of learned this as well earlier. Hamuder hana mechavero. Someone says that they won't get benefit from someone else. The engel mal lo yochal. That person does not have any food, right? So therefore, he's not allowed to get benefit from the other person. So how, you know, if he needs food, the other person can't give him any food. So what should he do? Holach etzel chemvani. The other person should go to a merchant that he knows. V'omar, or not, doesn't even have to know him, but just somebody. V'omar ish ploni mudar mi menihana. This person is not allowed, has made a neder not to benefit from me. V'enyo de ma'asen. I don't know what I should do. Right? He's kind of saying hint, hint. I don't know what I should do. V'hu nosen lo. And then the merchant, the store owner, is able to then give food to the other person that's the subject of the neder. Uva v'natalmas, and then you come to the other person, and he can collect from him. Now the person is not under obligation to pay the guy back because he didn't instruct him to do it. He never guaranteed it. He just gave him this hint. But in theory, the guy can come collect from him, and he can pay him back, and that's okay. So because he doesn't have to pay him back. And because he never instructed to do it, it kind of gives a workaround to this issue, and therefore he can arrange for food to be given to the other person that he subsidizes. Similarly, Haya Beisa Livnos, if he had a house to be built, Gidra Ligdor, or a fence to build up, put up, Sadea Lixor, or a field to harvest, and again, he doesn't have any money to hire workers, he could do a similar situation. Holach Etzel Poalim, he can go to a group of workers that he may know, or he may often hire. V'omer ish ploni mudar b'menehana. This guy made a neder that he can't get benefit from me. V'eni yodea ma'ase. I don't know how to help him out. I don't know what to do here. And then v'hein osimimo. They could then go work for him. Uvayin v'notz v'tzchachor mizeh. They can go and they can come back to the guy and they could say, hey, you know, we did $100 worth of work and he can pay him back the $100. Again, he is not obligated to pay them back because he didn't arrange it. But they're doing it on a matter of trust. But in essence, he's able to facilitate this situation to allow the guy to get his help and even pay for the guy's help. And therefore, the guy's not getting direct benefit from him. He's getting benefit from these other people. So that works if he knows people, he has store people, whatever. But however, hayu mahalchin b'derech, they're walking along the road. Ve'en lo mayochel, and that guy doesn't have anything to eat. What can he do? No sin le'echad l'shumatana. So let's say there are three people walking together. He can give the third person a gift of whatever food the person needs. V'hala mutarba. And the other guy, person two, is able to take the food from person three and eat it, right? So even though the food originated with him, what he does is the workaround, he gives the food to person three, person two eats the food from person three, and everything is wonderful. I mean, however, let's say there's no one else with them. It's just the two of them. What could he do? Meniach alasela, or together. He could take the food and put it on a rock or on a fence. But Omar, and he says, Harehen mufkarnum kol mi shiachbot. Says this is hefker to whomever wants it. So he makes it hefker, and then anyone could take it, and then person two is able to take the food off of this, whatever it is, and then eat it. He takes it and eats it. But Rabbi Yossi also. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with this. He does not like this. He doesn't. What Rabbi Yossi specifically is talking about is only this third part about the making it of hefker. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Gemara asks, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. My time at Rabbi Yossi. What is Rabbi Yossi's issue with this? Kesavar hefker kematana. He's saying he believes that when you make something hefker, it has a similarity to when you give a gift. What does that mean? My matana, how does it work with a gift? Ad asim rishus nosin rishus mikabel. So if I say I'm giving a gift to Jonathan, until I actually give it to Jonathan and he accepts it, nothing has really happened. So by virtue of my declaring it a gift for him, he has to still do it, make a kinyan and take it on. So he would hold av hefker, when it comes to hefker, ad asi rishus zocha. So when I make something hefker, until person B comes along and picks it up and takes it into his possession, it still has a connection to me. So I still have not released it from my domain, even though I've stated that it's hefker. So he would say that in this case, by virtue of taking the food and putting it out there and saying it's hefker, it still has a connection to me. So when the other person comes along and takes it, he's still, in effect, taking it from me. So that's why he wouldn't like it. But the Gemara tries to challenge this. Mesiv Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba would challenge this. At least challenges the way Rabbi Yochanan explains Rabbi Yossi. The Hala Nota of Ochel. So when it says he puts the food, he's quoting a Baraisa, which sort of is aligned with our Mishnah, but he's kind of abbreviating what it says. The Hala Nota of Ochel, that the person B comes and takes the food that was made Hefker. But Rabbi Yossi Oser, Rabbi Yossi didn't allow it. I'm a Rabbi Yossi. What Rabbi Yossi clarified, Amasai, when is this true according to Rabbi Yossi? Bizman Shenidro Kodum Lefkero, when he made the neder, before he made it, he put it out there. So the order of events was, first he made a neder that person B can't get benefit from him. And then he made the thing Hefker and put it on the fence or on the rock. Going to the Amid Beis.
If you didn't do it in that order, then what's the point? What's the problem?
Okay. Hold your horses, Arnon. Aval imhaya hefkiro kodem l'nidro. But if he did it in the other order, first he made it hefker, and then he made his neder, right? So he made it hefker, he put it on a fence, right? And then he said, and by the way, I don't want this guy to have benefit from me. Harei zeh mutar, according to Rabbi Yossi, that would be allowed, right? You know, Rabbi Yossi was mechaven to Arnon. V'yamart ad asi v'shusocha. Now, if you're going to say that the whole way this thing works is if I make something hefker, it still is in my possession until someone comes along and takes it. Miley nidra kodlum efkera, miley efkera kodlum nidra. What do I care the order of events, right? Because it's still connected to me. So whether I made it hefker or not, it's still connected to me. So it should work either way. It shouldn't be a problem either way. So why am I making this distinction if the distinction really doesn't matter, right? So it's asking a question on this. So this challenge attempts to get reconciled. Who mosiv la, who mishanile? That he is the one who made the challenge, he takes it away. How? Kol ha-noder, anyone who makes a neder, ein dato amasha hafkir. When someone makes a neder, if they know they've made something hefker, they're not including the thing that they made hefker in their neder, right? They're mentally excluding the fact that when they say, person B can't benefit from me, he's already excluding anything he made in hefker. He's only talking about the things that are remaining in his property, right? So attempt to challenge this. So Masiv Rava. So Rava brought a baraisa. Now this baraisa, there's two different versions of it. There's a version that the Rush and Tosfos have, which is what Art Scroll explains it at. And then there's the version of it that the Ron has, which are different. Let me just say the two versions outside, and then we'll follow along. So according to the concept that the Gemara lays out, according to the way it's explained, is the idea of Shchiv Mera. So you have someone who's on their deathbed. When someone's on their deathbed, there's a dispensation that says if they declare, I want to give all of my property to a certain person, and then they die, that deathbed declaration has a lot of weight, and therefore all that property goes to the second person. So if they went to a situation where there were two people, and the first person said, I want to give my car to this person, and then later on he said, I want to give all of my possessions to this other person, right? So the second declaration is considered a Shchiv Mera declaration, and therefore it overrides the first declaration, right? So therefore, in theory, it might override. So that's the way the Gemara is gonna, the Art Scroll and Rush explain it. The Ron explains it that we're talking about there a person has two slaves. To slave one, he says, I want to give you some property. And to slave two, he says, I want to give you all of my property. So by virtue of him giving slave two all of his property, in effect, what he's doing is, number one, he's freeing slave two because he's redeeming him by saying he's giving him all of his property. And number two is by virtue of giving him all of his property, he's also giving him slave one. So slave one gets absorbed in the second declaration that talks about, I want to give you all my property. And slave two is able to do everything. So they're similar cases, but basically the second declaration is kind of much stronger than the first one. That's the one that matters. So let's, now knowing that, let's read the Gemara inside. Mesiv Rava. Miksasalan Rishon. So you give some of it to person one, v'chulan l'sheni. So in your mind, think about the two scenarios. So we're either talking about that he gave some, is a shliv meira, who gave some of his possessions to person A, and all of his possessions to person B, or alternatively, he is giving some of his possessions to slave one, and all of his possessions to slave two. Rishon kana, in the case of shliv meira, the Ran is a different girsa for this next statement. So the Gemara's girsa is Rishon Kana, Sheni Lo Kana. If the guy got better, right, the Shliv Meira declaration goes away. So the only one who is acquiring anything is the first one of them, right, because he was given something. The Ran uses a slightly different term here. He basically says... I can't find it right now, but he basically says in that case, simply the second person acquires the first person, and the first person doesn't wind up acquiring everything. So what we see from this, at least the way the Art Scroll and Russian Tosas explain it, is that when the sick person made his gift to the second person, we have in mind, we say that when he does that, he's ultimately including whatever he gave to the first person. So even though he gave something away already, he's overriding it with the action, the second action. So bottom line, and however you explain it, is that the second action is overriding the first action. And the whole point of this is to say that when the guy makes the neder, that we said he had in mind to exclude whatever he did when he made something hefker. So this is challenging it by saying, we're in these cases, whether you're talking about the shliv mara or you're talking about the slave, ultimately, he is negating his first, he's ignoring his first action and only doing his second action. So based upon this, you can say that when the person makes his neder, he has to be including everything that's still his, even something that he might have made an earlier declaration about. He might have made this declaration that this other thing is hefker, but where you can't say that he's avoiding it when he makes the second neder. So that would challenge the way what Rav Ava said. So therefore, Ella Amar Rava, Hainu Taima de Rav Yossi. This is the real reason of Rav Yossi. Gzeira Misha Matnas Beis Chorin. This is because of a decree of Beis Chorin, and we've learned this before. So the situation is a certain person made a neder that their father was not supposed to get benefit from them. And then the son was about to make a wedding for his son, for the grandson of his father, and he wanted to include his father. So what he did is he made a gift to somebody else of all the property and all the items that were there in order to enable his father, who is the grandfather, to participate in the wedding. And that person then said, you know what, I'm going to take all that property and make it hekdesh. And the guy then came along and said, wait a minute, I wasn't giving it to you to really belong to you. I was really only giving it to you as a workaround to let my father be there. So ultimately, it was clear that he wasn't really making it as a sincere gift, but he was only doing it as a way of enabling the grandfather to be there. So because of that, because it doesn't look so clear, they made this gzeira to prohibit these types of things that seem to be these workaround declarations. So that's the reason for Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi wouldn't allow it because he says it seems like this whole hefker business seems like it's a workaround, and the whole hefker business is similar to the gzeira based choron, and therefore he would not allow it. Okay, so let's just start the next part, and then we'll conclude. Tani, we're into another braisa. Hamafkir es sadeu, someone who makes his field hefker, klol shlosha yamim, 3 full days, yachal lachzerbo, for 3 days he can retract. So even if someone else came along and grabbed his field within those 3 days, he's allowed to take it back. And the whole reason behind this was that people would make things hefker in order to avoid doing meiser and things like that. So there's this 3-day window where it's known that the guy can retract anything he makes hefker. Mikan ve'elech, from that point forward, ein yachal lachzer bo, it becomes permanent. He cannot retract it from there point on. I'm going to Mem Dalet at the top. Amar, but if he says, Tie sadezo mufkeres liyom echad. If he says this field is hefker for one day, l'shavas echad, or he says it's hefker for 1 week, l'chodesh achad is hefker for 1 month, l'shana achad is hefker for 1 year, l'shavua echad it's hefker for one shmita period. The halacha goes like this: ashlo zacha, until someone else comes along and takes possession of it, bein hu bein acher, whether he takes his own possession of it or someone else comes along and takes possession of it, yachar lachzerbo, he can retract his declaration. He's allowed, even after the three-day period, to go back and undo it because he put this stipulation on it. Misha zachaba bein hu bein acher, ein yachar lachzerbo. Once someone else comes along and takes it, then he is unable to undo it at that point. So bottom line is that if he puts the stipulation on it, he's allowed to go back on it. He's allowed to retract. However, once someone else comes along and takes it, he can no longer take it out. So next time we'll have a much more lengthy discussion about all of this. But the whole point of this is to talk about hefker, and it'll go back to our discussion with Rav Yossi. But for now, we'll pause. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up Mitzvah Shem next week with Daf Mem Dalet.